5 through 7 tonight. It's good to be in God's house. Always look forward to being in God's house. Hallelujah. You just know you're headed in the right direction and you have the right desires if you desire to be in God's house. It's just you know things happen in God's house. There's things that happen in your own house. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in my own house. The first time I got filled at my chair in my living room. I'm not saying you can't get filled with the Holy Ghost at home, but the house of God, in other words, gathering together with the believers, is for the edifying, the strengthening, the encouraging, just like what we've already experienced here tonight. Hallelujah. Just watching one another, looking at one another, rejoicing together. I mean, it is encouraging to see other people rejoicing. That's encouraging. I don't have to have other people rejoicing. I can rejoice all by myself. But I love it when I see other people rejoicing in God. Hallelujah. Encourages my heart, encourages my soul. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, speaking of Jesus Christ, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. You may be seated again this evening. I've titled this message tonight, The Enlightening Word. God's Word. God is light. His Word is light. And John is telling us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The fellowship that he's talking about is the fellowship with God. The fellowship with the saints. It's dual. It's the reality he's talking about if we say we have fellowship with him, Jesus Christ. And so then the whole scripture is about fellowship with Christ, and fellowship with Christ becomes enlightening. Enlightening. Just the word enlightening has so many definitions, yet they're all synonyms. They mean the same thing, just different ways of saying it. To enlighten is to impart knowledge or information to make aware or uplift by knowledge or religion, to free from prejudice and superstition, to lighten or shed light on, to give light to make clear to the mind. Anybody in here ever prayed for a clear mind? Anybody's mind ever kind of get boggled up with everything else? I was just praying tonight before service, Lord, clear my mind. Help my mind to focus in on you, what you want to do tonight and what you're doing tonight. And so give me a clear mind, God. And so enlightening clears the mind or makes the mind clear. It means to instruct, to edify, to cultivate, educate, inform, illuminate, teach, counsel, advise, notify, make aware, open your eyes. Now, we've already shared the little story about the men on the road to Emmaus, and they were totally in the dark until Jesus opened their eyes. There's a lot of times, church, we find ourselves totally in the dark till Jesus opens our eyes. Hallelujah. And so I want to begin in Genesis chapter number 1 here about the enlightening word of God. and scriptures pertaining about that light. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here's an interesting statement. It is probably one of the important statements of Genesis chapter 1. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And that word moved gives us the understanding of just sitting there hovering. One definition was brooding, just waiting for the moment the word spoke. Wow. Picture in your mind, if you will, water that's dark. You ever experienced dark waters? On the water at night, most terrifying thing I've ever experienced. It's all I can do is be on the water during the day. If the waves are crashing, then whoa, why am I out here? But, you know, it's waters, it's dark, and the Spirit of God is just there. Kind of reminds me of Acts chapter number 2, where the fire came and set on each one of them, hovering, just waiting for the opportunity to move. Woo. Hallelujah. The enlightening word of God. So darkness is there. The Spirit of God is there. And now God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Here is the establishing of the difference between day and night, from light and light and darkness. This is not the sun, this is not the stars, this is not the moon. This is light. The Bible says God is light. Now, I'm not a scholar in science. I know there's different types of stars, supernovas, and just different things. I realize we've read that article about light coming from the black hole. But whatever this light is, I believe it's going to be the same light you find in the book of Revelation when the Bible says there's not going to be any more night because it's always going to be day, and they're not going to need the sun or the moon or the stars because God is the light. Woo. So whatever this light is, we're going to see it. We're going to experience it. And we actually experience it right now as a child of God, as God reveals light, his light, to us. Woo. And so here, the very first thing that shows up is God's light. God's light. John chapter number 1, verse number 1. Says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Whew. We're seeing God's light shining forth now through the Word. And we know this is speaking of none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We find here that he was God, he was with God, and he was there in the beginning, and all things were made by him. He was there. He was there. So when God said light, it was in unison, and it was the Spirit of God that produced whatever light was revealed at that moment of time, that first day. And now we find that Jesus' life became light to men. John chapter 8. Oop. Skip verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So God's light, I'm perceiving, is a little bit different than what we call light. God's illumination is a little bit different than what we consider illumination. God's light and God's illumination always deal with the spiritual man, that inner man. Speaking to that inner man, speaking to that new creature. High possibility, just going to throw this in there for your thinking and your pondering. This may be what Adam and Eve lost when sin came in. Because it's a light we don't fully understand or perceive, but we know it's going to be real and it's going to be there in that city where God is a light, where Christ is a light. And so I don't want you to ponder too long on that. And stay right here while I move on. Let's move on together. Praise God. But I mean, that's good pondering. That's good things to think about, because John said it was the true light. And it lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. Now John 8 verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So everything about Christian life is wrapped around light. The illumination, enlightenment of God. God speaking to us. God fellowshipping with us. Building our relationship with God, where God is always revealing darkness. Anywhere light comes, darkness, please. And see, this is when John said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Because when we're walking in the light and walking with Jesus Christ, that light reveals darkness. Darkness repels from our lives, leaves our life. It's the process of the cleansing of the blood. When I realize, and it's amazing, when I realize the darkness and I reach to the light, then the lightness sends the darkness away, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us. As I walk, what's it mean, walk in the light? I say yes. I say yes. We've always got that ultimatum. When light begins to shine upon darkness, we always have the ultimatum of saying, yes, Lord, take the darkness away. Or we can try to cling to it. We can try to pull the shade to hide the light. You know, they've got shades that they call light blockers. You know, that's what we do a lot of times as Christians. We pull down the light blocker because we don't want to deal with that darkness. We don't want to deal with that. And so we pull the shade. You know, the Bible talks about the windows of the soul. They've got to be open. Talks about the door. Stands at the door. Not the door's got to be open. I mean, giving us the understanding we can close the window, we can close the door, we can pull the shades, we can just try to hide from the light. But how many's ever been in a pitch black room? Isn't that so wonderful? Isn't it amazing how many wild ideas run through your mind in a pitch black room? And then all of a sudden somebody touches you. Oh, oh, oh. And then smack, you've run into the wall. Woo. But I mean, that's the pitch black. See, there's... no one enjoys darkness like that. And so we see then the light is coming from Jesus Christ. The light's coming from God. The light comes from God's Word. Jesus is the Word, and God's Word is a reflection of Jesus Christ. They're one. Hallelujah. Psalms 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, Rejoicing the heart and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So here we find the word enlightening the eyes, and God's commandment, God's statutes, God's truths. That is what's going to open our eyes and help us see the glorious things of our God. Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we're finding that God's got all kinds of provisions for you and I to have illumination and to be enlightened by His Word, by His Spirit. Just as the Spirit of God was there in Genesis chapter number 1, the Spirit of God is with the Word of God. You can't separate the two. The Word of God, the Spirit of God is just sitting there, waiting there for the Word to be opened or the Word to be read, the Word to be looked at, the Word to be listened to. Amen. Just like right now, preaching, you're listening and reading the Word of God. And the Spirit of God then goes to work and He begins to move just like He did in creation, and God said, let there be light, the Spirit of God just began. Wow. When God created all things, it was the Spirit of God that... When the Bible says that man was made out of the dust of the earth, it was the Spirit of God that put it together. Whoa. Did you know you're just dirt? I just had to say that. I mean... The only thing that makes you not dirt is the Spirit of God. Woo! Hello. The Spirit of God. God breathed life into that dirt and it became a living soul. Adam. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, this is just God's Word. See, this God's Word is so encouraging, so enlightening, so revealing of God and God's character and God's nature. That's why it's there. Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. It's not rocket science, so to speak. We use that terminology, you know, to think that rocket science is something beyond what we can imagine or what we can think or figure out. But really, if you read it and study it, you'll figure it out. I mean, it's just rocket science. That's all it is. Just like earth science, just like any other science. If you study it and read it, you'll figure it out sooner or later. Amen. Just like chemistry and physics and all that wonderful science. Amen. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Okay. Here's the word enlightened. Now the terminology is the eyes of your understanding. In other words, God revealing things to us that bring alive that hope. And the reality, and one of my favorite words, reality of God's kingdom. Because it's real. But there's a lot of times we just don't feel like it's real. Until we get some enlightenment from God. And then all of a sudden, wow, we know it's real. Woo. That's just like the individual that's not been born again by the Spirit of God. They may know Jesus died on a cross. They may know He was put in the tomb. He was there 3 days. They may know the stone was rolled away and He rose the third day. They may know all that, but it's not like it has no pizzazz. But when you meet Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, that brings pizzazz. Hallelujah. And you know that He's alive and you know that He's real and you know that He's your Savior. And see, there's a difference. And that's what it's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 1. It's talking about that reality, that enlightenment of the riches of the glory of the inheritance, that heaven is real and we're on our way there. We're headed for the city where the Lamb is the light. I mean, all of it becomes real. And we accept it as truth and facts, hallelujah, because God's dwelling in us and the Spirit of God is enlightening us. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:14 says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. In other words, the vastness of his glory, the wealth of his glory, everything that he has, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Whoa. So this is where it's at. I've got to be strengthened with his might in the inner man, or I'm not going to be able to get it. It's not going to enlighten me. It's going to proverbial go over my head. Without the Spirit of God, I won't get it. I won't be enlightened. And so here he's bringing it together, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This is what brings faith alive, the Spirit of God. That ye being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Now there's no way you and I could exist if the fullness of God that it's talking about was God's full light, God's full power. These earthly bodies could not withstand that. That is one reason why we're getting a new body, a heavenly body, at that rapture or that resurrection. That's why the Bible says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. These bodies cannot withstand the glory pressure of a holy God. I mean, that's deep. I mean, that's we don't fully comprehend all that, but what he does want us to comprehend is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ. There's that word again. Not know about, but know. Experience it and possess it. Hallelujah. The love of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So that we can be filled with all the fullness that God has for you and I on this side of heaven. Not everything that heaven's going to give us, but everything that's going to be allotted us in that inheritance on this side. The fullness of that walk with God, that relationship with God, that power of God, that illumination of God. God will not withhold any good thing from his children, hallelujah, that desire to be enlightened from his word. Oh, hallelujah, and know and understand the glorious things of the kingdom of God. Ooh, hallelujah. I mean, this is God's desire to enlighten us through his word. See, his word can either bring death or it can bring life. It can do both. The letter killeth, the Bible says, but the Spirit giveth life. So, carnality and God's Word brings death. But spirituality and God's Word brings life. So, here we're seeing then, enlightened by God's Word, always, always understood, the Spirit of God's just waiting. Brooding, moving upon your life. Now, we don't see that flame of fire physically. But from what I've just read from God's Word, spiritually, the Spirit of God is setting over every one of you, over me, just waiting for you and I to respond to the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, this is where faith is involved. Faith knows this is God's word. By faith, we know it's God's word. It was inspired by the Holy Ghost, written by holy men of old. Glory to God. And that faith is what the Spirit of God then moves upon. As we read it, listen to it, and he begins to reveal it, illuminate, enlighten. Praise God. To be filled with all the fullness of God, everything God's got for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Now he's talking about the coming of the Lord. He's talking about the judgment of God. And he's saying, we've been illuminated. We've been enlightened. We know he's coming. We have this hope. We understand Christ is returning. We're not of darkness. We'll not fall under that judgment. No, no. We will be gone. We will be raptured. Rapture is not found in the Bible, but the catching away of the bride. It's there. There. The coming of the Lord. It's there. And so we see that's our hope. That's our enlightenment. You might think, well, that, everybody knows that. Uh-uh. I didn't know anything about that for 23 years of my life. I had never heard the word rapture my entire adult life of 23 years old. The only time that I found out that Jesus Christ was about to return and was going to return was after I got saved at the age of 23 and I began to read God's word for myself. I began to hear preaching about it and teaching about it. I thought, what in the world is this? I've never heard anything like this. And then as I begin to read it and study, hallelujah. We don't have to go through judgment. Hallelujah. And he's coming back soon. It ain't a million years away. It ain't 1,000 years away. He's coming soon. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because he has spoken that by his Spirit. And even the last book of the Bible lets us know he's coming. And all the New Testament admonishes the believers, be ready. Be ready. So now, 23 years old, I'm getting ready. Woo, I'm getting ready. Hallelujah. And I've been getting ready now for 36 years. Glory to God. Yeah. So you think I'm ready? I'm ready. Hallelujah. But I'm going to keep getting ready as I walk in the light as he is in the light. As he illuminates, then I will get ready. Praise God. Because that's what it takes. It takes that walking in the light, walking with Jesus Christ, building that relationship with God. I got to move on here. 1 Peter 2:9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Some of these scriptures, Brother Lucas used them in his preaching the other night or the other day or whenever he preached it. Praise God. I can't even remember the last time I preached, to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. But I'm preaching now. Amen. But anyway, these scriptures, why do we use these scriptures? Because this scripture has about 10 sermons in it for the preacher man. I mean, you could preach about the chosen generation. You could preach about the royal priesthood. You could preach about the holy nation. You could preach about the peculiar people. You could preach about praising God and being seen praising God. And that's, I think, what it was about. Praise the Lord. And what I'm after is that he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. In other words, he's called you for a life-changing experience with him. Praise God. And it's a lifelong, life-changing experience. Glory to God. That's why there's never a dull moment for the believer. There's always something going on. Why? Because the Spirit of God's sitting right there just waiting. He's sitting there over us, waiting for us to respond to God's grace, to God's mercy, to God's word, to God's kindness, to God's love. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we don't even know what it is God's talking to us about. But we know he's talking to us. You ever been there? Oh, I've been there multitudes of times. He begins to pull. He begins to deal. He begins to move. He begins to position us to where we can actually really receive what he's about to say. Because sometimes if he just say it right off, it's kind of like when you're in that room that's completely dark and somebody touches you. So what he likes to do is he likes to warm up to us, encourage us, let us know he's there. He doesn't want to just come on the scene, you know, and scare you to death. He begins to love us. He begins to reveal himself to us. He begins to woo us. He begins to draw us. And we begin to realize God is moving. God is dealing. God's trying to show me something. And, oh, you're getting there now. Hallelujah. And then you start, Lord, what is it that you want me to see? Now you're ready. Because you asked, what is it, Lord? Show. You just opened the door. You just raised the window, see? Had he just told you, you would have closed all the doors and closed the windows because it probably would have scared you to death. What's he doing? He's enlightening, he's illuminating, he's loving, he's bringing us out of darkness into that marvelous light. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Once again, what I'm looking for in this particular portion of Scripture, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How do you shine as a light? By doing all things without murmurings and disputings. That's how you shine as a light. Hallelujah. And then it says that makes you blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a people that are doing that very thing. That crooked and perverse nation. In other words, is that not what children of Israel always did? They just had that terrible, terrible problem with murmuring and complaining about every good thing God did. It just never was enough. The manna wasn't enough. I mean, a miraculous manna coming every morning, every day, and supplying your need tasted just like what you wanted to taste that day. I mean, couldn't have been any more perfect. Couldn't have been any more perfect meal on the face of the earth. God, we loathe this manna. Give us some flesh. Yeah. That's what this reference is to the reality. They always grumbled and murmured and complained about every good thing God did. So that's why the New Testament tells us, do all things without murmurings and disputings, so that your light may shine in this world. Psalms 119, 89 and 90, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I love this scripture. This is probably one of my favorites. All of them are my favorites. This is one of them. Amen. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's encouraging to me. It's not going to change. So thus, I can learn from it, I can grow from it, and I can trust in it. It's forever settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The earth is hanging here in space, sitting on its axis, spinning, rotating around the sun, just so you and I can live here. God's doing that for us. Just one of the many things God is doing for us, by the way. Wow, no wonder we should be praising him all the time. Do you realize that if the earth tilted straight up on its axis? Whoa, that would be wild. It wouldn't be what we know now. Whoa. No, God keeps the earth. He keeps it all. I mean, he's doing that for us. Yeah, that's why we serve him. That's why we honor him. That's why we love him. Hallelujah. I mean, yes, he's washed our sins away. Christ died for our sins. We have new life. But you realize everything that we know, God keeps it. So you can stay alive. Woo, glory to God. You know, the world needs to hear that. They need to understand that. Most people think the world rotates around them. You ever notice that? But surely Christians don't think that. They know better than that. They do now. We just read it. Amen. Praise God. From Psalms 18:28. Believe it or not, I'm going to close with this portion of Scripture. It says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." This is just the wonderful truth of the love of God. He's not going to leave me like he found me. He's not going to leave me in darkness. See, darkness came into this world through Adam and Eve, see. And that sin nature is darkness. That carnal nature is darkness. I mean, everything about the world alienated from God is considered darkness. And so, psalmist is saying, God's going to light my candle, and he will enlighten my darkness. The Spirit of God's moving. He's moving. He's moving where he is welcome. Hallelujah. He moves where he is welcome, and he will enlighten my darkness. He'll light my candle. He'll help my light shine in this world as he enlightens me and enlightens my darkness. And then I like these next two portions of Scripture also. It says, "For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God, I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." Now, I realize there's the main definition for those that are wondering what a buckler is. There is a main definition of a small shield that is placed on the forearm for close hand-to-hand combat, protection of the vital organs, and to pop somebody if you need to. I mean, you know, that would be handy. If I was going to have to fight, I'd want one of them bucklers. I mean, that to me, that... Woo! But there's also another definition that's not used quite as frequently. It's one that comes to defend. Not just the shield, but there's another definition of one, an individual, that comes to defend. Wow. That's what this is talking about. Not talking about the little shield. It's talking about who comes to defend those that trust in him. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. See, this is just God's word to enlighten us, to help us, encourage us, to help our faith be strong, that God is more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we think or what we can ask, because he's created it all. He's the God that created all things, and he is the God that desires to give all the fullness of his kingdom to you, to me, to anybody that will put their trust in him. What's it mean to put their trust in God? Well, that means surrender, faith, confidence, commitment, hallelujah, to God. To letting God's word enlighten my darkness. Show me the way, God. Show me the way. Because your ways are perfect. We just read that tonight. God's ways are perfect. Hallelujah. This is just a small portion of the enlightening word of God. Here's the full version. Praise God. Hide it in your heart daily that you might not sin against God. Put it in there, for when the enemy comes in like a flood, he can lift it up like a standard. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, God's word is a wonderful weapon. Sharp two-edged sword. See what the Bible, the word of God tells us. That's what it is. Sister Pepper or Sister Lindsay, whoever's coming to the piano, make your way back to the piano here tonight. The enlightening word, God's word to enlighten our darkness, realizing that if we're not walking in the light, then we're walking in the darkness. You don't want to walk in darkness. You don't want to walk alienated from God. You want to walk in fellowship with God. Keeping that heart tender, keeping the ear in tune, not allowing any of the darkness of this world or the enemy or the old Adamic nature. That's the three places darkness comes from. Once again, high possibility that's what Adam and Eve lost when they fell. They lost that light, that illumination of God, because after sin entered in, they hid from God. They didn't want to be illuminated by God, enlightened by God. But God still reached to them. And he gave them a promise. Genesis 3:15. He gave them the promise of a Savior. He gave them a promise. Adam, Eve, it's not always going to be like this. There's coming a day when enlightenment will come again. When a Savior will come, die for the sins of the world. That our heart can be cleansed, our sins washed away, and a new creature of light created inside of us. And now we can be illuminated again and fellowship with God again. See, sometimes we don't realize what we have, church. What we have is what Adam and Eve lost. And what mankind suffered from all those thousands of years until that day Christ was nailed to that cross. And he said, "It is finished." And because of that, now we can be enlightened again and illuminated again and a new creature created inside of us that Adam and Eve possibly lost. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. That's what we have as a child of God. That's what we have as a Christian, a follower of Christ. We have newness of life. Wow. And if we don't have that newness of life, then we have not found that fullness of God yet in our lives. You see, it's not something to be critical about or condemn anyone about. It's just coming to the reality, something just missing. And going to God to find out, illuminate my darkness, God. Enlighten my darkness. What's missing? Oh, I can remember that. I mean, man, it's been 36 years ago, but I can remember in my heart, as God began to move, Spirit of God began to move, God, I know it's you, but something's missing. Something's not, I don't understand. I don't know what it is. I can relate to those two men on the road to Emmaus. Doesn't our heart burn within us? I mean, that's what was going on in my life. My heart was burning within me. I knew God was moving on me. I knew God was revealing himself to me. Is it? couldn't I see it? Because of the darkness. The darkness of religion. The darkness of being raised in church. Oh yeah. A lot of people have been raised in church, but yet they're walking in darkness because they're depending on just being raised in church. And they haven't been enlightened and illuminated and light, a new creature created inside of them. Oh, wow. But it's there. It's part of the fullness of God. It's part of His glorious kingdom. It's part of His vast riches. It's part of everything that He wants to bring to every individual on the face of the earth. It's not God's will that any should perish. He wants all men to be enlightened to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand together here tonight, church. God of heaven, we praise Your holy name and we thank You, oh God. Lord, for Your Spirit, for Your Word, Lord, for the greatness, God, of Your salvation, of Your plan, of what You've brought to mankind. Lord, grip our hearts with it fresh and anew. Grip our minds with it fresh and anew. Lord, the great things, Lord, that You have wrought in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in this glorious salvation, Lord, and that fullness, Lord God, that You want to bring to our lives. Oh God, continue to pour out Your Spirit. Continue to let Your Word be illuminated, Lord, unto our eyes, God, that we might continue, Lord God, to walk in the light and have fellowship with You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God of heaven, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord God, for Your grace, and thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your long suffering towards us, oh God, of those times, Lord, where we stagger in unbelief at Your truths. Oh God, enlighten us that faith might be full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's close with a time of prayer here this evening. Remember those that are sick and afflicted. You gotta touch them and heal them. And oh, hallelujah. Just continue to pray. God, enlighten me. Light my candle, God. Light my candle.
You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. A word of God, speak, which You pour down like rain, washing my eyes. Finding myself at a loss. lost for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? Still.